There's nothing like walking up and finding Nutter Butters. Appreciate that from you. Thank you. Had a little platter of them and I was snitching some of them. This is a weakness, and then there's a horrible weakness for those zingers. Zingers and Nutter Butters, if somebody locked me up and they said, you only get two choices of food every day, and zingers and Nutter Butters. If you got to go out in style. By the way, I'm not asking for a church search because this is weird. It don't usually happen to me. I can't find my tie check. I had it in my hand. I don't know if it's in the parking lot. Dropped it in the floor. If you see a check, just drop it in the thing over there for me, please, and let me know you found it. That's what I went out a while ago, looked in my truck. Looked in my pockets. I felt in my pocket. Thought, isn't that awful? I wrote out my little check, and I came in here and hope somebody finds it for me. I can't find it. And that just makes you go, yeah. You don't want a check signed floating around somewhere, but I don't know where it went. Knowing me, it's as distracted as I can get. Maybe I dropped it in. I don't know. So somebody tell me when you count the money over there, it's here. I hope to God you say that, then I'll go take my medication and I'll be all right. So anyway, let's talk about God's righteousness, His righteous life for you. This first year, I'd like to bring some things. I hope you'll not, I don't make any resolutions. I just don't. I don't, but I do want to make commitments. And I don't look at the new year, and I don't want this to rub off anybody. This is me. I'm just telling on myself. I don't look at the new year as that much of a new year. I just look at it as it's another, we just keep going. I hope, you know, yes, did I eat my black-eyed peas? Yes, I did. And so I had black-eyed peas and cornbread. I made cornbread. I don't buy the mixes I make. I get the cornmeal and the flour and put the egg in there and the oil and the whole thing. And I made buttermilk for myself. And so I made buttermilk cornbread. I can't drink the stuff, but I sure like buttermilk cornbread. Isn't that awful? That's not the best thing for you, but something about buttermilk cornbread. And then, you know, you have to put extra baking powder in there and all. Everybody knows that. But so I made the cornbread, and I had my black-eyed peas, and said, okay, I've done it now. All's well with the world. And I turned on the TV expecting all the wars to stop and all the politicians to be honest, and you know, and it, nothing changed, but still hoping. And so I said, what do we do? You know, we're starting the first of the year. Let's do it right. Let's look at things that we really need to look at in our lives. And make some commitments to the Lord. Resolutions, nah. You ever made a resolution, I'm going to lose weight this year? You don't have to raise your hand, but did you do it? Started off good, didn't you? Did you ever make a resolution, I'm not going to eat that chocolate anymore? I'm not going to have a drink for the next 3 hours. That's most people's resolution. You made it too. And did you ever done that? I'm going to stop drinking this year. Stop smoking this year. I'm going to stop eating all those pies and cakes. I'm going to lay off sweet. I've had people say, I'm through with sweets. I'm thinking, golly, do you lie like this constantly? I mean, and the worst part is, do you believe your own lies? You know, here's the problem. If you tell yourself you're not going to do something and you focus on what you're not going to do, that what you're not going to do becomes so prominent in your little head, you do it. If you're not going to do something, turn to something else positive that replaces it. And you can beat it. But if you're just going by willpower to stop something with nothing else to go to, you've had it. Now, our message today is in Romans 12. But I'll throw in a piece that Paul said in his own life. He said, and you hear me say, use this passage frequently, and I use it today. And he had it then. This is not new stuff, new theory. This is scriptural fact. He said, what? Forgetting those things which lie behind. Okay, there it is. I'm not going to do that anymore. But he didn't say, this one thing I do, I'm going to forget what lies behind. You can't do that unless, and then he told us how to do it. And I press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm going to forget it by what? Pressing on to the ministry God has for me in Christ Jesus, and then the ultimate goal of going to heaven with him. He said, so I've replaced that past with something I go for in the future that distracts me, consumes me, and pulls me away from whatever it was. Now, his life, we know. What is it in yours? That you need a goal, you need something that's a life's ambition to take you away from some stuff that's not good for you. It could be what you watch on TV. It could be the people you hang with. It could be what, you know, anything. Or it might be the news station you're watching. I ever so often, and it's on a continual basis, somebody will say to me somewhere out there, you know, Tony, I just watched the news and I feel so depressed. You know, I'm just like, well, why are you watching it? What is wrong with you? You know, I just watched this and then they're talking this and it. Well, You know, if you're eating food and it tastes bad, why do you keep eating it? You know, somebody say, I just hate this cabbage. I hate cabbage. Really? Then why are you eating it? Find something else to replace it with that you like and move on. Move on. Leave it behind. Friends, you can do that with hurts. You can do it with pains. You can do it with people who've been jerks in your life. You move on to people and do it and having a life where you're not with the jerks anymore. I've had people say, you know, I just keep dating the wrong people. Let me pick them for you. And it'll be all right, yeah. Really? You keep dating the wrong people because you keep going back to looking for the same stupid stuff. Now change your perspective and have some new goals. Say, I'm going to go and I want to be with someone who has Christian morals, who really does believe in Jesus Christ, who worships Jesus Christ. And I've had so many people say, you know, well, they told me they were a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the devil will tell you that. He will. It was the scriptures say. You know, the demons even believe in God and they tremble with fear before him. That they don't accept Christ. You know, I can say, I believe. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, that's not good enough. The devil believes. He knows he's Jesus. No, Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord is a big difference. And then what does the scripture say? By their fruits you'll know them. So all of this is part of this message. I'm not rambling. Because we're going into Romans 12. Read the first part. Romans 12, and this will come up sooner or later in a message. I just don't know when. About, urge your brothers to offer your bodies a living sacrifice and all that. So he starts off with that. But we're going to move down and start with verse 9. And here it is. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Now this is your commitment. This is what God is calling for. This is what God's saying. This is God's righteous life for you to live, for you, for me. He said, this is the life you don't, this is not an option. This is what I want from you. I want you to submit to this. Not make a resolution, but to say, this is my life, that love will be sincere in my life. I'm not going to be a hypocrite with love. I'm not going to say I love you and then hate your guts inside. Awful term. Sorry, I won't say I love you and then despise you, hate you. You know, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. I had a problem with this. I voiced this out loud to myself and to the Lord when I was working on this. I really worked and worked and worked on this message. These don't just jump up. You just study the dickens out of it, trying to get it right, trying to get it before God so that you, and also make it practical, not just theological. But it says, hate what is evil. And one of the things that kept circulating around in my mind is, that's one of the problems, isn't it? God's people, not you, But so many go to be entertained, and they don't hate what's evil. They love what makes them feel good. They love what makes them feel good even over loving God. Today, it's all about feelings. It's all about feeling good and what pleases me. And it's not about hating evil. And we'll get to some of this. And he said, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We could use a lot more of that in the world, couldn't we? And there's some younger generations that need to hear this. They probably learned it from some of the older generations, so I can't just put it all on them. But it's not all about you. And if there's anything I'd like to say to some of the in the millennial generation and all this, you know, there comes a time in life when you don't get a ribbon just for being there. You get one for doing the right thing. And mama didn't spank your little bottom, but life will. And then it comes as a rude awakening. But it's the truth, friends. I'm not trying to be, there's my soapbox, but I'm not on it. That's a fact. And so many times, you know, if we're not disciplined in our own home, life will get us. And then we hate everybody, hate God, hate everything. And so, you know, and we get so self-centered. And he says, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. He said, you give somebody else the honor. You give them the praise. You brag on them rather than yourself. And never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And he says, this is hard. I don't even like this, but I accept this because it's God's word and it's God's will. He says, be joyful in hope. I can handle that. Patient in affliction. I don't like that. I don't want to be patient in affliction. Now, that's just honest. Do you just want to be patient when you're going through something? I want to tell the whole world about it, and I want everybody to feel sorry for me. I want them to give me a little, we feel sorry for you meal. Really, bring out the grapes and a little palm leaf and wave it over me and say, poor thing, poor pitiful you. And what we do, and there it is. We don't want this thing, you know what, you want me to be what? Serving, you know, never be lacking zeal, keep my spiritual fervor, and all this stuff. And you want me to be patient in affliction? It means endure it silently. If you're going to cry out to the Lord. Instead, I want everybody. We all do that. It's our human nature. Then God teaches us through life, and we don't. But that's our human nature. And he shared with the Lord's people who are in need. By the way, I've gotten word that there's been a great deal of sharing going on and a lot of giving here that I wasn't even fully aware of the amount or anything else. But that'll be for later on. But thanks. When there's need that's arisen and there was abundant giving. And I'm going to say this to everybody in this church that gives to help another human being. God bless you. The scripture says, give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, running over without measure. And so what you're doing to help others, God says, I see that. And I reward with more than you can ever give. I'll make it run over. So, just want to put that in there. Thank you and God bless you for it. There's, you know, certain needs that arise within the family and wow. Yeah, don't hear this everywhere, but thank you for doing just what he said there. So you can say, God, thank you that I can be used in such a way to be such a blessing to you and to people in need. And share with the Lord's people who are in need, see, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. I won't do that. But I have to do that. I don't get up here, and you know that, and ever try to put a snow job on you and act like I'm above those things because I'm the pastor. I'm anointed. I am anointed, and I am the pastor. I'm an under-shepherd, under the great shepherd. But friends, I'm in a human body trying to do a supernatural job, and man, there's times like this persecution thing, somebody in my face. You want me to bless them, Lord? Really? It's hard to bless someone you're wanting to put that mask on and start the chainsaw. Bless and do not curse. Any of you giving in to the opposite of this? Curse and do not bless? It's tough. And he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. He said, do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. So put your hand down when people do wrong to you on the road and stop that IQ signal. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, it does not say here peace at all costs. Peace at lying your body down, let somebody run over it. He said, as much as it lies within you or it depends on you, be at peace. Careful how you read scripture and compare it. You know, here's, for instance, I just heard this on TV the other day. It's in a lot of movies. This phrase. Well, you know it's in the Word. What they said, in the good book. The Lord helps those who help themselves. There's not a scripture in the Word of God that says that. What a total misquote. That's not scripture. It doesn't say God helps those who helps themselves. Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus died, it says, when we were still helpless, Christ died for us. Jesus died for those who can't help themselves. Just want to throw that in. That's for free. But when you hear that again, or somebody, you hear people say, you probably said it yourself, because we just don't think sometimes, but no, it's not a scripture. It says Jesus came to help those who were unrighteous and couldn't do a thing to help themselves. Just the opposite. But okay, there we are. I don't know. That wasn't in my notes, but it just came up and I wanted to give it to you. And then here's a tough one. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. You know what it's saying, don't you? If I take revenge, if I try to get even, God won't do anything. Listen to it. My dear friends, it says, don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. What does that mean? If I take revenge, that's it. If I step back, God knows how to do it much better than me. Don't get in his way, or it all stops. The discipline stops. Whatever was going to happen with these people, it's going to stop because you did it. You messed it up. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, by this time already you're going, please, no more. We're just about through reading this. Your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. See, I've heard this before. Yeah, I know. We have to hear it again and again. Repetition finally does it. Finally, we get it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, let's get into this thing real quick. And we've read this. Great passage, full of stuff. A lot of it's good, some of it we don't want to hear. First, let's learn to live with God's love. Let's get sincere about it, just like he says here. Love must be sincere. Listen. Too many Christians in too many churches, heard it all my life, heard it in every church I've ever been in, that people saying things like, love you, brother, love you, sister, and then you find out they went out and had lunch and tore you to shreds over their meal. Am I right? Have you ever had that happen to you? And somebody would say, I love you. I really love you. I love you with all my heart. Don't pay any attention to my girlfriend. Right? She's temporary. Or this guy I work with, you know, don't worry. We just go out and eat lunch not only 3 days a week. And so, and we come in late because it takes a while. First, with napkins don't work right. We can't clean all the stuff off. And, you know, right? I mean, don't say you love someone and it's a snow job. Christians in church, we should be able to look at one another and say, I love you. If you can't say it with sincerity, don't say it. If you can't look someone in the eye and say, you know, I really love you. I love you as a sister in Christ. I love you as a brother in Christ. Or I love you in whatever way. And you can't mean it, don't say it. Really? Don't let somebody coerce you. You know, if somebody says, I love you, right? But you're not sure what to think or you're not ready for that yet. You can, what are you supposed to say? You ever feel coerced into saying, I love you, and you don't really mean it? Well, don't say it. All you got to do is say, thank you. I thank a lot of you too. Now, the person may not like that, but you're being honest and you have integrity and they can respect you for your integrity. When someone looks at you in the church and you look at them and you say, you know, I just really love you in the Lord. If you do, say it. If you don't be hypocritical because God takes that serious. Why? Because God's never been hypocritical a day of his life about love. When God says he loves us, he loved us so much he sent his son into the world that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. God said, I love you so much. I gave myself in the presence of my son, died on the cross, rose again for you. And he said, that's love. Are you willing to love someone like that? And most of all, are you willing to love me to where I could call you to be on the cross, whatever that cross may be? Whether it's somebody's persecution or you're in the news or whatever, if you're standing for the Lord, he's saying, are you willing to go the distance? Because that's what I call love. And I have to ask myself, are you willing to do that, Tony? Are you? And you know what my answer is? I hope I am. I think I am. But can I stand up here before you and say, yo, yeah, I'm really there? I want to be. I want to be. Because it's one thing to stand up here and say, or any other guy on any platform or whoever, and say, oh, yeah, you know, all of you know I love the Lord so much I'm willing to die for him. It's like, that's because you've never faced death, partner. When you face it and it's knocking all around you, or you hear those funny things zipping through the air over your head, or they're sitting there telling you, we're going to do our best. You're going to be okay, we hope. You know, it's like the people that get up and talk so much, so frivolously about being willing to give their life for the Lord and for their brothers and sisters, my first thought is, you've never been anywhere close to death, have you? You don't know what that does to you to have to look it in the eye and keep going. To pull yourself out. To say, God, it's now or never. You either have to work this or I'm going to be seeing you in just a little bit. So when you hear this, and when you hear this word, think about what this really means. Love. And I know if you're not there, which probably most of us aren't, then ask God to get you there. To where it just doesn't matter anymore. And what matters is Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. Real love, see, is for God is doing just what he says. It's hating evil and seeking what God says is good. It says, I'm going to get rid of the little gods in my life. Do you have little gods? Like anger? Anger becomes something we worship. I watched this Star Trek movie way back when, and it was one of the, remember when they came back and they had the movies? I don't know, it was about number 5 or so, where they were going to go find God. But this guy was going to go look for God, and I remember Kirk saying to him, he said, I need my pain. I want my pain. He said, I take away your pain. And I need my pain. I don't need mine. I don't want it. Do you? Need my anger. He was angry at the Klingons for killing his son. But I thought how true that is with all of us. How many of us have made anger a god? And we really, deep down, when God begins to want to take that anger away, we get angry. We even get angry at God for trying to take the anger away because that's our crutch. That's what we lean on. Man, that's become our god. We worship it. I need my anger. I need my pain. I need to cling to whatever it was that happened. I need to cling to that divorce. I need to cling to that bad business deal, or they fired me at work, or whatever it is, or they accused me of something, whatever it is in your life. That's my thing. That's what I wave. That's the banner I wave and say, rally around me. I want to tell you my story. And Jesus is saying, I want you to change banners. That one there says self. I want you to get the banner that says Christ. Let it go. Get rid of that little god of anger, of jealousy. Most people won't admit that they're jealous. It's easy to be jealous. What about greed? What about temper? Have you made a god out of your temper? Status, your money? Have you made a god out of wanting to be noticed? People to think you're really something? I think when we're younger, we want that. Anyway, brotherly love, giving other Christians honor. Can you do it? Can you look at someone else and say this is their day? Say to yourself, their little fishing story is going to be the story of the day. I'm not going to top it. I could, but I'm not. Love, it's all bundled under love. Anyway, love for God is a living, growing passion that forms a bond between yourself and God, and then it flows over into your other relationships. It's a living, growing passion. It's beyond feeling. It's a compelling passion, for lack of a better word I could find, that forms a bond between yourself and God, between you and people. It's a marriage. It's a relationship of total trust and commitment. And it'll do anything to keep any evil out of that relationship. I made a little note here. And I want to bring this out. Just a note while we're talking about this, we move on, which we will quickly. Real love looks at the person and not the sin. It overlooks the person and their faults. But real love does not overlook sin. You can look at a person and say, I really care about you. You're my brother, my sister in Christ. I will love you as a brother or sister always, but I will not love what you're doing. Instead of saying to people, I just don't like you, I can't stand you, what we're really saying is, I can't stand what you're doing or what you're saying. Well, separate the person. Jesus looks at us and says, Tony, I love you. With all my heart, I'll die for you. But your sin has to go. Your temper has to go. Your anger has to go. Your frustration has to go. Love doesn't mean I'm going to let that stay. Because I love you so much, I have things much better for you than that. And that's what he's speaking to us right now. In your heart, you know he is. Saying, come on, come on. I love you, I'm not overlooking you, but I'm not going to overlook that sin. That sin, out of here. By the way, there's a piece here that I just got to grab real quick. Rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Is everybody good with that? We don't like it, do we? Let me say something the Lord put on my heart. You ready? I put another note. I write these little things. Note. Don't qualify verse 15. You with me? This is important in this love thing and this whole first part of this. When he says, you know, just rejoice with those who rejoice and weep, mourn, and some of your translations say weep with those that weep, mourn with those who mourn. How many of you, how many times have you had someone and they're going on and they're, you know, it's not so bad when they're happy, rejoicing, but when they're mourning and that, and you're looking at it going, you're thinking to yourself, that's just stupid. What a bunch of sissies. Have you ever done that? You know, what's your problem, dude? And that's qualifying it. And then suddenly the Lord began to just show me how he speaks. You know, he moves in your heart. And he said, Tony, don't qualify verse 15. You may think it's silly. You may think it's ridiculous with the things that others rejoice in. Or what? I've had people all giddy over something, and I'm thinking, that's all it takes to please you? Really? You know, you found a nickel and you're acting like a little kid? But mostly, you know, I hear it all the time. This is my life. I deal with people mourning and grieving and are they think they are. And then the Lord began to speak to me in preparing this message. And that's, so you think it's ridiculous, do you? Well, it could be that you've not ever walked in their shoes and you don't know what's happened to them in their life that makes them as vulnerable as they are. So before you sit there and say that's ridiculous, that's just asinine, I mean, it doesn't make sense what they're so upset over. It's like, yeah, but have you ever been kicked in the teeth like they have? Have you ever been abandoned like they have? Have you ever just, where your emotions are just wafer thin and it doesn't take much to take you over the edge? Maybe that's where they are. And so sometimes we're standing there and we're saying, that's goofy. I mean, what are you crying for? Guys, we do it with girls, ladies all the time, don't we? It's what are you crying for? There's nothing to cry about. It's just your cat. It got run over. It's get another cat. And God's saying, hey, what if that was your rifle? What if that was your fishing rod? What if that was your favorite golf club that got run over? See, it's all relevant. And what he's saying is this. Don't qualify that verse. Jesus' command is for us not to make a decision whether it's silly, stupid, or even worth crying over or rejoicing over. God's command is it doesn't matter. If they're rejoicing, rejoice. And if they're mourning, well, mourn with them. Weep with them. Just stand there and show compassion. And you can say to yourself, he didn't say you couldn't. God, it's silly. It's silly to me, but maybe they're just don't have any more reserve left, huh? Well, and love overlooks all this stuff in myself and goes from me to others and says, whew, maybe the poor thing is that's just they don't have anything left. And so a little weevil in their biscuit just threw them off. I say that because I was in an incident where some weevils were in flour. That'll happen, right? And I just saw a complete freak out. Just weeping and mourning. And I was thinking, oh my God, you know? And it was just horrible. And I just couldn't handle it well. And it's like, all of this over flour? And finally, my solution, naturally, Tony, fix it, you know? I tell you what, start putting everything together. And I'm going to drive to down here, and I'll get you another bag of flour. But there's weevils in the flour. And it's like, look, let's pour it out on the floor, and I'll kill the weevils. I'll get a pair of tweezers if that makes you feel better. I wanted to say that, but I didn't. But it's like, but then again, it was like, Tony, it didn't hit you, did it? I did later. You know what the problem was? It wasn't the weevils. The problem was they wanted to fix something very special, and I didn't get it. And the weevils were ruining it. See? I was just looking at it and qualifying it from where I'm at. I didn't look at it from where they were. Anyway, think about these things, because this is where God wants us, where we can love people, love Him with all of our heart, love our neighbors, ourselves. And where we can really rejoice with somebody, whether it's silly or not, and where we can truly mourn or weep with them, even though we're sitting there going, the world's falling apart and you're upset over this. Yeah, they are, because they've just been beat to death and that's where they are. So help them. You think God could, if he wanted to do this, could laugh at us a lot of times, the things we're upset over? And doesn't you think God wants to say, get over it, get real? Really? Seriously, you're upset over this? You're pouting over your shirt? Listen, I got so upset. I pulled nice polypropylene. I like to wear polypropylene out in the cold. I did nice polypropylene, you know, undershirt, what do you call them, you know? Yeah. And they're just really good for the cold. And I missed it. I always take them out and hang them up on a hanger when I wash them. I didn't. I took it out of the dryer. Yeah, okay. Well, everybody, okay. This has happened to others. And I pulled it on, and it came up to here. It's dead, and the sleeves were here. And I just, that's my favorite. And now, man, you know, I've been on many a deer hunt. I've been out in the, and I was throwing a fit, and I was trying to stretch it down. Thank you. Yeah, I found that out. You know, it was like, and from God's perspective, what do you think? If he was human, thank God he is. Thank God he's God. What would he have been thinking? Yeah. You know, Tony, really? Really? And you're mad at the polypropylene for shrinking when you're the dummy that left it in the dryer. I wonder how many things we get mad at when we're really mad at ourselves. You ever get mad at another person, your husband, your wife, and it's really you you're mad at? But you want to blame them? I thought that out there. Anyway. So secondly, live with God's blessing. Learn to live a life with God's blessing. What does that mean? Just God gives without qualifying. He gives because he loves you. Do the same. Share whatever God gives you, share with others. Choose to bless when you really want to curse. Learn to live being a blessing, in other words. Live with God's blessing. Live being a blessing. When you want to curse, when you want to get in there, remember what God said, it's mine to avenge. I'll repay. I'll get them. Let me put this in there. It doesn't say this, but we know by experience. He just didn't say he'll get them. He said, I'll repay, you know, and but you do the right thing. What's he saying? I'll do it, but I'll do it in my godly time. And that's what really gets me ticked off sometimes, doesn't it? You? Can't you just do it now? Well, we all deal with that. This message is practical, it's human, but it's of God. And it's to say, we're all in this together. We struggle these things. That's why he's saying, hey, here's a New Year's thing. Shoot for this. Start praying this out. Pray these scriptures you're hearing today. And I've got to close because I don't have time to do all this. And you want to go home, and I'm wearing out too. So, but he says, you know, put yourself in the other person's place. Be a blessing. I'll give you a blessing. I'll take some of that and share it with everybody else or with whoever I direct you to. Live with my blessing. Make each day, God, use me today to be a blessing to you and a blessing to your people. Let that be part of your prayer. That everywhere I go, no matter what people are doing or not doing, I'm going to be doing what you call me to do, and it doesn't depend on them. That's the way we're supposed to live. And then let's close with this. I'm kind of pushing through. There's so many other things here. We'll throw some of this in with some other messages. But thirdly, in closing, yes, he's there. I was reading a book the other day, and this priest, and I was sharing some thoughts, and he said he can always tell when he says in closing, he said there's a visible relaxation amongst everybody out there. he said they're all going, oh. So third point, this is it. Live with God's righteous character. What does that mean? Live with his character in your life, his righteous character. God's character is what? Living in righteousness and giving his righteousness to others. What does that mean? It's doing right. It's living in righteousness. God's character, God is righteous. God is love, God is righteous. And he wants you to live in his character of righteousness and share that right. Be his righteousness. They're not going to see it any other way. So to wrap this all up, what it means, if it's possible to seek peace, then do it. If it's possible to bring peace in a situation, do it. If you can hold your tongue and just take it a little bit and walk away so that there be peace, do it. What's it to you, really? Why does your pride have to be so out there on the limb, so out there on the shoulders, the ego, that you can't take a little bit of a bad word or something from somebody and just for peace, go on? Husbands and wives, people in relationship, friendship to each other, golly, why do you have to react to something off color and out of tone? We're all going to say things with a tone of voice and something scratchy now. Let it go. Keep the peace. It's not saying if somebody's beating you over the head that you don't do something. Of course you do. But words, come on. It's remembering that life's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's determining in your heart to do good, whether you feel like it or not. That's righteousness. So let's put it this way, and it's all in this passage, but I'm just putting it in summation so we can get this and we can get you on out of here. God's righteousness will defeat evil. God's righteousness will overcome anger. You move and focus on God's righteousness, and you can move away from that anger, whatever it is that's bugging you. God's righteousness honors God, and God's righteousness brings you, living through you, brings glory to God. And that's what it's all about. Let me hit you these are called tidbits I just wrote in real quick that God was giving me, little bites. First, God teaches us to be righteous and treat others right. Not just for others. Well, this one hit me hard. Because I was asking God, I was saying to him, this is hard to do. And he said, I'm not asking you to be righteous and treat others right. Like up here, if your enemy's hungry, feed him and do all that. Because that's always been hard, right, for all of us. He said, I'm not doing it just for the person that's your enemy. I said this for you. Because if you don't do this, you will become the enemy. If you don't feed your enemy, if you don't give them water, if you don't be nice to them, you become angry and bitter and ugly. And one day somebody is going to be looking at you the same way you are now looking at them. And boy, that slapped me. It was like, whoa. I'm always thinking I'm letting the other guy get away with it. And God said, no, I'm teaching you to get away with it. You do this for you. You do it because I told you, do it. And it also has a Christian impact on them, but this is going to save you from becoming the enemy. It's like, you really are in this for us, aren't you? All the way. All the way to the cross, to the tomb, and beyond. I'm in this for you. And we looked at Scripture sometimes, just we don't get out of the box. We don't get out, and we got this paradigm. We got God all made up in this little place. And God's saying, get out. Come on, let's broaden your perspective. I told you to do this for you. This makes you Christ-like, but it also keeps you from becoming like the person you're angry at. Wow. And then we really are. This is it. Final closing. If you even began to allow anger, animosity, vindictiveness, resentment, et cetera, et cetera, whatever it is, to take root in your heart, if you even begin to let these things take root in your heart, it will turn you into this. A lifeless, uncompassionate, self-centered individual. And you can't afford it. We can't afford it. We don't want you to do this. You don't want me to be like that. So I can't let this anger, resentment, all this, because that's what's going to make me. See, when I'm angry, I'm thinking about me and what you did to me. And when I have resentment, it's all about me and wanting to get even. See it? It's me, 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 me. And I'm no good to anybody. To God, still loves me, but I'm not serving him, I'm not honoring him, I'm not witnessing, I'm not helping you. So I can't let this be in my heart. And this is why God compels us to live right and do righteousness. Why? Because God is right and God is righteous. So get it sincere. Let your love be sincere. Love God. Hate evil. Get into these things and say, God, here it is, this new year. And this is going to be my passage. And this is at least one of them. And I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to let this soak into my life. Because I want to be like Christ on this earth. So that when people look at me, they can see Jesus in me. Because I'm the only Jesus they're going to get. Father, we thank you for your word, the power, the love, the goodness, the grace. Make it happen. Open our hearts for it to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you much for being here.